Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
I wonder whether you've ever heard of chalky teeth. They're crumbly teeth, prone to decay, and are increasingly appearing in children's teeth around the world. But they're not caused by, I know what you're thinking, too much sugar or poor brushing. Instead, there's something of a mystery in the dental community about just what's going on, and one in five children are now affected. That's a lot. If chalky teeth aren't identified in time, children are losing their adult molars at very young ages. Professor Mike Hubbard is the founder and director of the D3 Group for Developmental Dental Defects, and he's based at the University of Melbourne, joins us this evening. Mike, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Nice to be with you.
Yes, well, nice to be with you too. The scientific name for chalky teeth is hypomineralisation. What is it exactly?
Well, the word you can think of as having two parts. So hypo is not enough, as in hypoglycemia, mm-hmm. and mineralization, not enough calcium in the tooth. So basically a tooth that hasn't been hardened properly.
And do we know why this occurs?
Well, in loose terms, it's something that happens while the tooth is developing.
Right.
But the specifics of the pathology of it, if you're happy with that term, is not well understood, and that's something we're working to rectify.
We're always told to drink lots of milk as a kid because that would give you strong teeth because of all the calcium.
Yes,
a kid's not having enough calcium. Do we think?
No, it's because these chalky teeth they can just be a single spot on a single tooth. So it's something that's much more local is the problem that's happening while the tooth is developing.
Mm. Does it affect just particular teeth or the entire mouthful?
Well, the problem that we're focusing on is the most common one that you've mentioned, the one in five, the chalky molars. Mm-hmm. So. Those hypermineralization problems can affect any tooth in the mouth, but it just happens that for some reason that's not yet clear, the 6-year molars are the ones that are most affected, and then the 2-year molars and the 12-year molars are less affected. And sometimes the really curious thing is how come one out of the 4 molars might be affected in one child, and in another child it might be 2, another it might be 3, and another it might be 4. So this argues against what you were alluding to with maybe a dietary deficiency. Mm. If we weren't having enough milk, we'd expect all 4 of a particular tooth at a stage of development to be affected.
When it's spotted in children, when is it usually spotted?
Well, I could turn your question around in that it's not usually spotted. It's usually left too late and becomes tooth decay. But why we're seeing more of it is people who have got a good handle on tooth decay, then we're seeing these chalky spots before they become decayed.
Okay, go on.
So you can see them any time after the tooth starts erupting. So it's a problem that's there while the tooth is developing. So it comes into the mouth with this problem. Mm. So it's something that you can be looking for when a tooth is erupting.
Okay, so it's not the whole tooth, therefore. It's spots on the tooth, isn't it? And those spots are a weakness, and that weakness can lead to decay.
Correct.
Right. Okay, so is it just in developing teeth, or do adults get it as well?
Well, adults get their teeth when they're children. So basically you have your baby teeth and your adult teeth when you're a school kid. So that's when you get these teeth. And a lot of them are decayed while you're a child. Mm. And then you carry that problem through into adulthood.
Okay.
So the last tooth you get is your wisdom tooth. So that's your last chance to get a tooth.
Yeah, I suppose what the question I'm asking is it's not a condition that develops once you've got your final teeth in. It's a condition that is associated with developing teeth.
Absolutely. So we talk of it as being congenital or a birth defect for the tooths.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Because tooth decay amongst kids, once commonplace, there'd be a generation of people listening who, like me, with a mouthful of full of fillings, This has largely gone away, hasn't it, because of a fluoridation and better diet?
To a pleasing extent, it's reduced, but it hasn't gone away. And my suspicion and a lot of my colleagues is partly the reason tooth decay hasn't gone away is because of many teeth being chalky. So,
right.
So we're basically looking at an essentially unpreventable form of tooth decay in children because the teeth erupt chalky.
What can you do? What can you treat it? What can you do about it?
Well, the dentists are pretty good at this if they can catch it early enough. So, as you were saying before, if you can detect, if you look for it early and catch it before it's too bad, then a lot of cases can be saved and you can go through the rest of your life. Perhaps you had chalky teeth, so they become fillings or whatever.
Mm.
But for some of the more severe cases, then, in fact, the best course of treatment is to take the tooth out.
Okay. If you take the tooth out, does the new one that comes through, does that also suffer the same problem?
Well, if a baby tooth is affected, then there is a reasonable chance that the adult tooth that comes through after it could also be affected. So that's the second baby molar, the two-year molar. If you've got those chalky, then there's about a 4 or 5-fold risk that the tooth that comes up later, the 6-year molar, will also be affected.
Okay. I'm talking with Professor Mike Hubbard, founder and director of the D3 Group for dental defects in Melbourne, the University of Melbourne. We're talking about this phenomenon of chalky teeth, which you may not have heard about. It seems to be a new thing. Dentists aren't really sure exactly what's happening here. Is it, Mike, a thing that is only associated in some parts of the world, or is it a phenomenon worldwide?
It's absolutely a worldwide phenomenon, and we know quite a bit about the prevalence of it, how many people are affected. So there's been over 80 studies done now in 36 countries around the world, and on average, as you said, about 1 in 5 kids are affected. So it's very clear that it's a worldwide problem. So I argue that it needs a worldwide solution. So that's part of what we're working on.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think? What clues do you think we have about the underlying causes anyway?
It's reasonably clear. If we think about the 6-year molars, that tooth is developing 5 years earlier. So in a baby, between birth and 1 year old. So we've been able to establish that it's something to do with illness in that baby. It's not due to too much fluoride. It's not due to genes. It's probably not due to malnutrition. So we know lots of things that it's not. We have yet to crack what it is, but I think it's a very researchable problem. And some of my own group's research has given us some exciting clues that we would like to pursue.
Hmm. Well, what sort of clues?
We've been looking at the molecular pathology, the proteins in chalky enamel, and there's been some surprises there. So it's looking like the spots that become chalky have been exposed to some body fluid while the tooth is developing. And we've also been looking at some of the data on the number of kids that get it in different countries and at different times, and that's sort of taken us off on a bit of an adventure of what might be causing it. So it needs more research. But right.
Do you believe it's ultimately a dietary thing or not?
Well, diet affects all sorts of things, so it's hard to eliminate diet from any cause, really. But I don't think it's going to be too much Weet-Bix or too much Vegemite or too many smokes as a kid. It's more likely to be something to do with illness, so an infection or exposure to an antibiotic or something like that.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, if people listening are worried about their kids' teeth, I mean, it would be advisable to have this checked earlier, I presume, would it?
Well, we're very keen that if you haven't had a professional dental check of your child by 2, that's a very good time to start so that the two-year molars can be checked.
Right.
Dentists recommend earlier than that, but to have the two-year molars checked as soon as possible while they're erupting, it's a very strong cause to spend the money on that.
Okay, so I know there's uncertainty as to what causes it. Is there more certainty about a course of treatment once you discover it at, say, 2 years old?
I think the dentists around the world are sort of consolidating their opinions about the best way to treat it. I'm a scientist, so I won't say too much about the clinical aspect of things, but part of the network group that I've set up is bringing together these different opinions and getting people to talk about it. So it's fitting in well with a lot of the modern dental trends to minimise the amount of drilling and filling you do and use preventive approaches. Mm-hmm. So,
but essentially the treatment is, though, to replace the chalky part of the tooth with something a bit stronger.
That's if it's past a certain stage of chalkiness, for sure. Mm. Sometimes it's just a discoloured spot but still reasonably hard, so in that case you might put fluoride treatments on it or some resin over it. Mm. To look,
yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, taking teeth out, well, that was once commonplace, but for 4 or 5 year olds these days, it's certainly not, is it?
Well, there's quite a few of them having in the news. There's frequently grumbles about the number of kids having general anaesthetics to get extensive decay problems fixed. So, So there are unfortunately too many kids having that. Whereas what we're talking about with the chalky teeth is also affecting kids who or families who look after their oral health. So an interesting thing about the chalky teeth is that even if you've been on an excellent diet, done everything right, you could still end up in the situation that a tooth might have to be extracted or multiple teeth might have to be.
Mm. Okay, interesting. Something a lot of us, I think, probably haven't heard about. Mike Hubbard, good to talk. Thank you.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.